Although Matthias had to agree with Formal, he continued looking upwards. Jess was reduced to a mere speck now. The young mouse gritted his teeth, willing the brave squirrel onwards.
Go on, Jess! You can do it! Not far to the gable now!
The crowd fell silent. All that could be heard was Silent Sam sucking his tiny paw as he clutched onto his father's tail. Suddenly, Winifred the Otter broke the quiet.
Look, Jess has made it over the gutter. She's on the roof.
A massive cheer went up. The squirrel was on the last lap. Now she would have to call into play all of her climbing ability to keep going up the treacherously steep, smooth slates. Methuselah polished agitatedly at his spectacles.
Where is she now? Will someone please enlighten me?
She's on top of the roof, walking with a foot either side of the apex towards the gable,
yelled Abbot Mortimer. Methuselah sniffed.
No need to shout, Father Abbot. I'm only hard of sight, not hearing.
Mr. Squirrel clapped his paws joyfully.
Oh, she's made it! My Jess has made it!
Amid the riot of jubilation, Matthias watched. The weather vane moved slightly, indicating that Jess, actually out upon the north pointer, must be trying to retrieve the sword. What a daring climb! What a courageous creature! Jess Squirrel would surely take a place in the annals of Redwall Abbey. Mr. Squirrel held Silent Sam up in his arms.
Look, Sam! Mum's done it! She's on the way back down now!
Silent Sam clenched his little paws over his head. He shook them like a tiny champion. Nobody in all the world was a better climber than his mother. Matthias waited for a glimpse of the sword. But Jess was not halfway down when a shout of consternation arose from the crowd below.
Look out!
She's being attacked by the sparrows!
Sure enough, the fierce birds were whirling in close to the intrepid Jess. They tried to peck at her, seeking to dislodge her, or distract her enough to make her fall. It was a fearsome, sickening drop should she lose her grip. Matthias took command. He acted swiftly.
Hurry! Get the 6 best field and harvest mouse archers! Those birds have got to be stopped immediately!
The angry sparrows persisted with the savage assault. Jess kept on descending resolutely. She couldn't seem to defend herself. The abbot and Constance had to leap forward to restrain Silent Sam. He had left his father and was trying to scramble up the base of the abbey wall, with the small dagger clenched in his teeth. Constance attempted to reason with Sam.
Stay clear, little one. You'll only distract your mum. Look, she's doing splendidly. An old bunch of sparrows can't bother her. Stand back now. Here come the bow mice.
Speedily notching shafts to their strings, the archers angled the bows upwards.
Do not aim to kill any of the birds,
the abbot cried.
Shoot to frighten them off. Shoot!
The first volley of arrows was launched. They fell short of the sparrows. Jess carried on scrambling downwards, beating off attackers whenever she had a free paw.
They're getting within range now. Aim! Fire!
The mouse archers sent off a hail of arrows that came close enough to cause a scatter among the sparrows. Taking advantage of the brief confusion, Jess clambered down onto the small side roof. The tenacious birds regrouped and came at her again. Below, the bow mice stood ready.
She'll make it down,
Ambrose Spike yelled.
One more good volley should scare them off.
Ready? Fire!
The deadly shafts hissed upward, causing a mad flurry among the attackers. Purely by accident, a stray arrow struck one young sparrow. It came tumbling down the slope of the small roof, dropping to earth like a stone, the arrow sticking in its leg just above the knee joint. Cheated of their intended victim, the sparrows flew off, chirping bad-temperedly. Constance snatched up a woven rush washing basket. Holding the small sparrow firmly with a paw, she gripped the arrow in her teeth and yanked it clear from the bird's leg. The badger then upended the basket, imprisoning the maddened sparrow beneath it. Shouts of joy mingled with relief greeted Jess Squiddle as she dropped wearily to the grass.
What a wild bunch of savages those sparrows are! I thought they had me once or twice back there!
Before the heroic squirrel could be united with her family, Matthias came dashing across.
Jess! Where's the sword?
The squirrel shrugged and shook her head.
It wasn't there, Matthias. I climbed out along the north pointer and I actually saw the shape of the sword in the holder where it was supposed to rest. There were even some loose rusty wires that may have held it in position at one time or another. But there was definitely no sword. I'm sorry, Matthias. I tried my best.
Of course you did, Jess,
said Matthias, hiding his disappointment.
Thank you very much for your valiant efforts.
Half an hour later, the crowd had dispersed and gone about the business. Matthias sat with his back against the abbey wall, his mind in a turmoil. All that hard work, solving the clues, burning midnight oil, endangering the lives of his friends. This had all come to nothing. He beat his paws against the stones of the abbey, a tear of frustration gleaming in his eye.
Why, Martin? Why?
The captive sparrow fluttered her wings against the upturned basket.
I kill you! I kill you, Mouse! Let Warbeak free, you dirty worm!
Matthias peered through the cracks at the insulting prisoner.
Oh, shut your beak, you little monster! You're in no position to kill anyone!
The sparrow's venomous temper increased.
King Bull Sparry, he kill you! Make dead quick first!
Matthias laughed mirthlessly.
Will he indeed? Well, you tell King Fingerme, if you should bump into him again, that you've met Matthias the Warrior, and I don't kill that easily, my bad-tempered little friend.
This last statement sent the young sparrow off into a veritable dance of rage.
Mouse, no friend of Warbeak! Killy! Killy!
Matthias tapped the basket with his foot.
Listen, Warbeak, if that's your name. You'd better improve your temper, or you'll find yourself without food to eat or any medical attention. So if I were you, I'd sit quietly for a while and think about that.
Matthias spun on his heel and marched off, the enemy sparrow's chirp still ringing in his ears.
No wonder food! No needed attention! Warbeak sparrow, all brave! Killy!
Matthias sighed wearily. There was just no talking to some creatures. Chapter 10. Celia the Fox continued to complain. She must have a certain type of herb that was not in a kit. It could only be found in Mossflower Wood at the dark of night. Cluny listened to the fox's pleas, knowing that they were merely an excuse to gain her freedom. He paused as if to deliberate, watching the hopeful expression on Celia's face.
I can see that you need this herb, so why don't you send your son, Chicken Hound, to get it?
Celia was never stuck for a ready answer.
No, I'm afraid that's useless, sir. He's too young and inexperienced. Chicken Hound wouldn't know where to start looking.
Cluny nodded sympathetically.
You're probably right. I suppose I'll have to stretch a point. You can go off to the woods to search for this vital herb, but be warned, Fox. There will be two rats with you all the time. One false move and I'll have that bushy tail of yours to trim the collar of my war cloak. Is that understood?
Celia's head bobbed vigorously.
Of course, sir. What reason would I have to play you false? I'm looking forward to a good share of plunder once I've healed you and Redwall is conquered.
The huge tail snaked out and caressed the fox.
Of course you are, my friend. How silly of me.
Cluny actually smiled. Celia shuddered. That evening, Celia left the church, accompanied by Red Tooth and Fangburn. Secretly, she could have danced with delight. Only two guards. With her knowledge of Mossflower, Celia could quite easily give them the slip for 15 minutes or so. Back at the church, Cluny had risen from his bed. He attempted an exploratory walk, leaning on his banner as he stumped gingerly around the room. Good. In a short while he would be back to his old self again. Cluny spoke aloud to the picture of Martin bound to his standard.
Hala, that fox should easily give those idiots of mine the slip. Then she can deliver my false plans to your abbot. It's all going along quite smoothly. Bit of a blow for your side, eh, Mouse?
Twilight tinged Mossflower Wood. Celia sniffed the breeze. She glanced up at the sky. It would soon be dark and she could keep her rendezvous with the Mouse Abbot at the old stump. Red Tooth and Fangbane were both unhappy and uncomfortable. For the last hour, Celia had led them through stinging nettles, swarms of midges and marshy ground. They blundered along, hacking at the undergrowth with cutlass and spear.
I think we must be somewhere near the Mouse Abbey,
Fangbane said.
Stow the gab! Keep your eyes on the fox!
Red Tooth snarled.
I wish I'd brought some lanterns along with us.
Red Toot's already dangerously thin patience snapped. He grabbed hold of his snivelling crony and started shaking him.
Listen, thickhead. If you don't stop your moaning, I'll chop your tongue out with my cutlass. Do you hear me?
Fangburn struggled free. Angrily, he jabbed at Red Toot with his spear.
You dare try anything with that blunt old bread knife, and I'll spear your gizzard before you can blink an eye.
Oh, you will you?
Yes, I will, smarty rat.
Then take that, big mouth.
Ow! Punch me, would you? I'll soon show you.
Together the rats crashed into a prickly bush, kicking, biting and pummeling each other. Claws, tails and teeth came into play. They went at it hammer and tongs for several minutes, until Red Tooth emerged the victor. His nose was bleeding and he had lost a tooth, but he was in better shape than his opponent. Fangburn crawled miserably out of the wrecked bush. Both eyes were blacked, a chunk of his left ear was missing, and his whole body was covered in long raking claw marks and prickles. He bent painfully to retrieve his spear. Seizing the opportunity, Red Tooth landed him a mighty kick on the bottom, his nose ploughed up a furrow of soil. Panting furiously, Red Tooth berated Fangburn.
"You half-witted fool! Now see what you've done! While you were busy assaulting a superior officer, you let the fox escape!"
Fangburn sat up. He winced through discoloured eyes.
"I let the fox escape? Me? Oh, no. You're the one in charge. You let her get away, not me. Will I report this to Clooney? I'll tell him that you..."
"Will you shut up? It's no use us standing here arguing. We'd better get searching for the fox. I'll go this way and you go that way. The first one to find her, keep shouting until the other arrives. Have you got that? Now, get moving."
The two rats stumbled off through the woods in different directions. Meanwhile, in another part of Mossflower Wood, Seela sneaked along looking from left to right. There was the three-topped oak, there was the abbey wall. Ah, here it was, the old stump. The moonlight illuminated the scene clearly. She was alone. Where was the Mouse Abbot? A heavy paw clamped itself around Seela's neck from behind. Her tongue shot out. Struggling uselessly, she gagged and choked. Constance's gruff voice growled into her ear.
"Be still, fox, or I'll snap your neck like a dead twig."
Seela froze. There was nothing more dangerous than a fully grown badger. Their strength and ferocity were renowned. Constance's free paw snapped the hair pouch from the fox's belt. She shook the contents out onto the stump. Grabbing the copy of Clooney's invasion plan, she studied it briefly, then stuffed it into her belt.
"Your abbot was supposed to meet me with a reward."
The badger's eyes blazed with contempt as she spun the vixen around.
"Here's your reward, traitor."
Whump! Constance dealt Seela a sharp blow between the ears. The fox fell in a senseless heap. Constance ducked behind a tree and called out in a high-pitched voice.
"Over here, I've got the fox. Quick, over here."
Red Tooth was first to arrive. He came dashing through the bushes and halted at the sight of the unconscious fox among the ferns.
"Hell's teeth, fox! Where's Fangburn? What the devil do you mean slinking off like that? Get up on your feet and answer me."
Constance emerged from behind the tree.
"I don't think she'll wake up for a while yet. Fancy meeting you here, rat."
Red Tooth got over his surprise quickly. Seeing the badger unarmed, he swished his cutlass through the air and smiled menacingly.
"Well, well, it's the friend of the mice. So, we meet again, badger."
Constance stood tall, her huge paws folded.
"Red Tooth, isn't it? I see you still remember me from your defeat at the wall. I told you then we had a score to settle."
Red Tooth bared his teeth and snarled.
"I'm going to enjoy this, badger. I'll make sure you die slowly."
The rat leaped at Constance, swinging his cutlass expertly. For a heavy badger, his adversary moved lightly and skillfully. Neatly sidestepping a cutlass thrust, she cuffed the rat smartly on the point of the nose. Stung into retaliation, Red Tooth charged Constance with the point of his blade. A fierce kick in the ribs and a swift chop to the claw sent the rat and the cutlass in opposite directions. Red Tooth lay winded upon the ground. Constance leaned over him.
"Get up and retrieve your weapon."
As Red Tooth stood, he grabbed a handful of earth and flung it in Constance's eyes. The big badger staggered back, rubbing at the grit which clogged her vision. The rat picked up the cutlass and swung it, slashing wildly at his enemy's thick fur. He scored several hits. Suddenly, panic gripped him. The wounded badger had seized the blade, regardless of its keen edge. Constance pulled Red Tooth in close. She gave a sideways push, snapping the cutlass blade in two pieces. Kicking the rat over on his back, she flung the broken blade away and grabbed the rodent's tail tightly with both paws. Red Tooth screamed in terror as he felt himself leave the ground to go spinning aloft over the badger's head. With his tail pulled taut and the wind whistling through his fangs, Red Tooth howled as the trees went by in a green blare. Like an athlete throwing the hammer, Constance whirled on her hind legs faster and faster until suddenly she threw her burden with a colossal heave. Redtooth would have flown a record distance had there not been a stout sycamore tree several yards away. Ignoring her injuries, Constance called into the surrounding woods.
Over here! He's over here!
Then she limped swiftly off in the direction of Redwall with the captured plans. Only moments later, Fangbairn came blundering through the ferns. He tripped upon the groaning fox, who was just coming round.
Here! What's happened? Where's Redtooth?
He asked anxiously. Seela sat up, rubbing her head, trying to recognise her surroundings. She saw the old stump littered with the herbs and potions. The pouch lay nearby. Holding her head with both paws, she tried to halt the thumping ache. Damn that badger's hide! She'd taken the plans from Seela as if she were confiscating acorns from a baby mouse. So much for the rich rewards. Fangbairn prodded Seela with the spear.
Hey, you! Pay attention! I asked you where Redtooth is!
Seela probed a loosened tooth with her tongue.
Leave me alone! How should I know?
Fangbairn persisted.
Now listen, Fox. I want to know what's been going on here. I'm sure I heard Redtooth calling out. Hell's whiskers! Wait until Clooney gets to hear about this!
Seela pointed a shaky paw.
There's your rat, by that big sycamore yonder. Looks like he's had a spot of bother, too.
Fangbairn touched Redtooth with his foot.
Oh, he's dead! Look, this sword's been broken in two!
The fox and the rat stood looking at each other, their thoughts running on parallel lines. It was fairly obvious what must be done if they were to save their skins.
Right. We'd better work out a good story to tell Clooney when we get back. He's not stupid, so we'd better get it right.
The unlucky pair stumbled off through the nighttime woodland, gesticulating and muttering together, weaving a fabric of lies that they hoped would satisfy Clooney the Scourge.
Chapter 11.
Once again, the Abbot's room was the scene of a late repast. The news that Constance had brought showed without a doubt that Clooney would soon be on the attack again. Abbot Mortimer was the first to admit that he had been mistaken.
The intelligence brought to us by our friend Constance is conclusive. Clooney will never rest until he has Redwall under his heel. Therefore I feel that I must apologise for my misjudgment of the situation. You, my commanders, were right, and now, thanks to Clooney, we know the secret details of the enemy horde's next attack.
The abbot slapped a paw down on the plans.
It is all here, but as I have said before, I will not concern myself with the fighting of a war. It is my task to heal the injured and give sustenance to the defenders. It is the duty of you, my generals, to plan the repulse of this invasion.
Matthias held up a paw.
Father Abbot, it is our duty not only to defend, but to retaliate.
There was a strong murmur of agreement from around the table. The abbot bowed and placed his paws within his wide habit sleeves.
So be it. I leave the salvation of Redwall to you, my commanders.
The abbot bowed once more, then retired for the night, leaving Matthias, Constance, Winifred, Formal, and Ambrose Spike. The meeting continued. They were joined by Basil Staghair and Jeff Squiddle. Methuselah also attended to act as mediator and counsellor, approving some ideas, while discouraging others, calming the hothead and encouraging the timid. Much good sense was talked, and the tone of the meeting was that of creatures who were determined to win at all costs. The discussion, running on sensible lines, went on until it was nearly dawn. It was a confident and satisfied group of friends who shook paws as the meeting ended. Basil insisted on taking Constance to the infirmary to have her wounds treated. The badger tried to shrug him off.
Oh, such a fuss over a few minor scratches.
The hare chuckled admiringly.
A few minor scratches? Will you listen to the heroine? Why, my dear badger, those are honourable wounds gained on the field of combat. I say, Jess, lend a paw here. Have you seen the dreadful gashes that friend Constance has collected? By the left, old girl, you should be hors de combat. Not even a stag could put up with slashes like that. Come on now, let's have you. There's a sensible girl.
Constance was led off muttering by Basil and Jess. All the rest retired to their beds, with the exception of Matthias and Methuselah. they strolled around the cloisters, savouring the peace of the small hours.
You know, old one, I can't help thinking that a victory would be assured if only we had the warrior's sword.
Methuselah nodded wistful agreement.
Indeed it would. But alas, for all our efforts, the trail is as cold as a midwinter night. I'm afraid we must resign ourselves to the fact that the sword is lost or hidden somewhere forever.
The old gatehouse keeper leaned upon the young mouse's arm as they walked along, talking of this and that. Eventually, the conversation came around to the sparrow's attack upon Jess. Methuselah shook a warning paw.
Extremely dangerous birds, sparrows. Very warlike and quarrelsome. Luckily, they keep to themselves and will only attack if their territory is intruded upon, as you saw today. By the way, did you see that young one who was brought down by the archers?
I certainly did. Constance has got the bad-tempered little wretch imprisoned under a washbasket. What a nasty young villain. The arrow only scratched her, really. It was shock more than anything else that brought her down. Says her name is Warbeak.
Methuselah was taken aback.
Do you mean to tell me you've talked with her? Remarkable. The sparrow language, or sparra, as it is called, is very difficult to comprehend.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't find it too hard. And at least the little hooligan seems to understand what I'm saying to her.
Methuselah's curiosity was aroused.
And what has she been saying to you, this Warbeak?
Pretty much what you'd expect. Either she or the leader, King Bull Sparrow, is going to kill me. Evidently she looks on anything that can't fly as an enemy.
They strayed over by the gatehouse. The old mouse invited Matthias in for a late nightcap. Methuselah appeared very interested in sparrows. He leafed through his record books.
Let me see. Summer of the big drought, winter of the deep drift. Yes, I thought I'd find it here. Do you remember I told you of a sparrow hawk whom I treated about 4 years back? Well, here is my report, some small notes I made at the time. This hawk talked of the sparrows. She called them winged mice, though for the life of me, I cannot see any comparison between highly civilized mice and those primitive savages. Point was, though, this sparrow hawk said she'd been told that the sparrows once stole an object of great value to our abbey. She didn't say what it was. I thought the bird was merely trying to impress me with idle gossip. I should have questioned her further. We may have found out just what that object was.
Matthias looked pensive.
Do you think it could have been the sword?
The old mouse sat tapping his paw upon the record book.
It could have been, Matthias, it could have been. You see, the sparrows never communicate or bother with us. They never fly into our abbey, but up on the roof, well, that's a different matter. They consider that to be their territory. As I see it, the sword was the only object of value we had up there, although we did not know it at the time. So who else but another bird would know that the sparrows had stolen it?
By the whiskers, old one, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Do you think that our bad-tempered captive might know something about the rumour?
Methuselah grinned mischievously.
Lend me your dagger. I have a simple experiment that I wish to try on our prisoner. Come on.
Matthias escorted his friend to where the basket lay by the abbey walls. There was no sound from within. Methuselah tapped the basket sharply with the blade of the dagger. Warbeak had been caught napping. She came to life in an irate mood.
Worms! All worms, you old mouse worm! Stay away! Warbeak, killie!
Methuselah tried his level best to act tough.
Be silent, you little baggage, or I'll spike you on this dagger. And your king, too, if he dares to come down.
In a fury, Warbeak smashed her small body against the sides of the basket, causing the old mouse to take a step back.
Ha! Go on! You kill it, Warbeak, with dagger! Wait, see! You not get King Bull Spanner with little worm knife! King have a big sword! Chop all mouses up! Kill it pretty quick, you betcha!
Methuselah laughed with delight.
You see? The Sparrow King owns a big sword.
Matthias did a cartwheel. He whooped with joy.
Methuselah, you're a magician, an ancient wizard.
The old mouse shook his head modestly.
Oh, dear me, no. I like to think of myself as an aged but extremely erudite scholar.
Chapter 12.
Sitting comfortably, propped up on pillows, Clooney sipped a beaker of barley wine as he listened to the improbable tale spun by Sealer and Fangburn. They both fidgeted nervously during the course of their deceitful narrative, trying desperately not to contradict one another, while at the same time avoiding the cold, impassive eye of the warlord.
He was like this, Chief,
Fangburn stammered.
Me and old Red Tooth were keeping our eyes on the fox here, when suddenly Red Tooth hears a noise in the woods. So off he goes to investigate.
Where was the noise coming from?
The deceivers spoke together.
North.
West.
It was sort of northwest.
Sealer gulped, realising how foolish she sounded, knowing that Clooney was smarter than either of them. She wished she didn't have this big dumb rat to corroborate the story.
So Red Tooth went off to see what the noise was. We told him not to go, sir. But he insisted.
Clooney watched Sealer's legs shaking.
Go on. What happened then?
Fangburn took up the tale again.
Well, you see, Chief, he was gone an awful long time. We both called out to him, but there was no answer.
So we both went to look for him.
Clooney toyed with the beaker, his eyes bored into the fox.
We searched and searched, sir, but all we could find was this big stretch of marshland and bog.
Where it's poor old Red Tooth had wandered into and been sucked down, never to be seen again.
Sealer kept wishing the floor would open up and swallow her. Fangburn sobbed brokenly.
Oh, poor friend Red Tooth, gone forever.
Yes, our poor friend Red Tooth.
Clooney agreed sympathetically. Suddenly, his voice hardened as he shot a question at Fangburn.
You! How did your face get knocked about? And where did you get those long scratches from?
Sealer jumped in hastily.
He walked into a big thorn tree. Didn't you, Fangburn?
What? Oh, yeah, I was dashing about and I didn't see it, Chief. The fox can tell you. She saw it. And if she didn't, well, I already told her,
said Fangburn, his voice trailing off miserably. Clooney laughed mirthlessly, his fangs showing yellow and sharp.
So, you walked into a big thorn tree and got two black eyes, a torn ear, and your whole hide covered in long scratches.
Fangburn stared at the floor. He had to swallow twice before he could answer, his voice subdued.
That's what happened, Chief.
Clooney's tone was laden with sarcasm.
And then, I suppose, the three little pigs with wings flew down and gave you a toffee apple each.
What was that, Chief?
Ouch!
Fangburn hopped on one leg as Sealer kicked his ankle to silence him.
You fox! Where is the special herb you went to search for?
Sealer was completely nonplussed.
Special herb?
Clooney hurled the beaker. It bounced off Fangburn's nose, splashing barley wine over them both.
Get out! Out of my sight before I have you tortured and roasted!
Clooney roared at the unlucky pair. There was an undignified scramble. The door slammed shut behind the conspirators. Clooney lay back and smirked. Everything was going according to plan. He had lost Red Tooth, but what the devil? Red Tooth had been an ambitious rat. Clooney only admired ambition in one rodent, himself. Far off in Mossflower Wood, the night breezes stirred the treetops gently. The moon rode in a cloudless sky. Its pale light filtered through the waving foliage to create the beautiful but strange effect of a shimmering, swaying carpet on the woodland floor.
Asmodeus. Asmodeus.
The covering of dead moonlit vegetation on the ground trembled and rustled. What better cover than a light breeze and a hunter's moon? Glittering black eyes searched the night. A forked tongue tasted the air. The small living plants appeared to shudder as the long scaly body brushed by them, trailing its way along.
Asmodeus! Asmodeus!
Softly rustling, deceptive as the speckled shadows, the huge adder roamed his domain. Patience and stealth were acquired by long experience. Sometimes the serpent would lie totally inert, awaiting the unsuspecting paw that trod too close. Other times it would raise itself, uncoiling to look into bushes for eggs and birds on the nest. Some nights it was lean hunting. Many creatures sensed the approach of the slithering evil, or scented its dry, musty, death-like odour. The snake had often gone hungry at times like these, but patience and stealth, a lesson soon learned is a meal soon earned. At the foot of the sycamore, the adder stretched itself alongside the still form of Red Tooth. Well, an unexpected bonus. This was another rat that could not scurry off. No expenditure of venom or hypnosis needed. How fortunate! The huge reptile coiled itself languorously around the dead rodent.
Asmodeus! Asmodeus!
No need of burial parties. Nature and the woodlands took care of their own funeral arrangements. There was but one efficient undertaker. The adder's jaws opened in something resembling the nightmare of a smile. The pathway to eternity was open.
Chapter 13.
Matthias was excused from duties at the gatehouse fortifications. The council had agreed that both he and Methuselah, plus any creature they chose to help them, were to be left to their own devices. The majority of the Red Wall Mice thought that Matthias was acting a little oddly, but the young mouse knew exactly what he was about. He strolled slowly through the abbey grounds. Behind him hopped Warby on a lead with a collar about her neck. On the sparrow's uninjured leg, Matthias had tied a brick, not a very big brick, but one large enough to stop the bird getting airborne or trying any sneak attacks upon its captor. Thoroughly disgruntled, the sparrow hopped along like a feathered convict with a ball and chain, forced to follow the young mouse wherever he chose to wander. At first, Warbeak had raved and threatened. Death was too good for Matthias. Warbeak was going to kill him twice, then cut him up and drop him from the top of a high tree for the worms to feed upon. Matthias had merely tugged the lead sharply and quickened his pace. When the savage young sparrow showed signs of good behaviour, Matthias would feed her morsels of candied chestnut. The treatment was working. Outside the gatehouse, Matthias rested. He fed the sparrow some more of the candied nut.
There now, you good bird, well done!
Warbeak scowled fiercely, but she munched the nut readily. Methuselah popped his head out briefly and beckoned.
Come into the study, Matthias. Oh, and bring that little horror too.
In the cluttered study, the old mouse produced a yellowed volume.
Our old friend Sister Germaine's translation of the original Red Wall Abbey blueprints. I think I've found what we're looking for in the main diagram. See?
Matthias studied the blueprint carefully.
Brilliant! You've done it again, my friend. A route to the abbey roof from the inside.
Methuselah breathed upon his glasses, polishing them on his fur.
Really, it's thanks to Sister Germaine for keeping such fastidious records, young mouse. Now, here's where you'll start.
An hour later, Matthias left the gatehouse with Warbeak bobbing behind. As they went, the young mouse muttered to himself,
I'll need 5 or 6 strong climbing ropes, some spikes. Oh, and a hammer. Must have a hammer. Now, let's see. A good haversack to carry it all, enough food and drink, and some candied chestnuts for you, my friend.
Warbeak uttered a stream of curses as she stumbled on the brick. Matthias waited as she picked herself up.
Such language for a young sparrow.
Constance and Ambrose Spike watched the odd pair pass by. The badger tapped the side of her head with a paw.
Bats in the belfry.
Or sparrows,
giggled the hedgehog. Basil Staghare superintended the willing creatures who carried logs and filling to shore up the gatehouse entrance. The hare had brought a touch of military efficiency to bear upon the exercise. He had formed the volunteers into a living chain, which constantly passed the defence materials along. Basil brought his good-natured authority into play.
You there, fourth from the end, Chappie. Liven your ideas up, laddie buck. That's the third time you've spilled a basket of soil. Here, let me show you how.
The timid mice smiled among themselves. The blustering hare was quite a kindly creature, really. All bark and no bite at all. He shared the tasks with them, working as hard as anyone.
No, no, brother, what's your name? You pass logs along like this.